Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Benny and Haiti, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
It's for moments like these and opportunities like these, and just pointing at a guy, telling him he's doing this, he's doing that. No, it's strictly to get better. And that's what it's about, regardless of how we may feel in the moment. You know, I even been called out before, you know, and it's uncomfortable, but you know what you're doing it for, you know, and you got to remove your feelings. And it's for opportunities like on Sunday.
Yeah, it's entirely new attack plan, I can say, because they're two different players now. They're much better. You know, Trent McDuffie is a really good corner, really good football player. And you know, it's different. You know,
the beauty of this team is you want to try to stop one guy, you have a hard time stopping the others. But with Spags, you know, you just got to be ready to adjust. You never know what to expect. And all levels are great, all levels. And I think it starts with taking care of 95.
I feel like we're chasing. I don't say that. We don't say that. We just focus on today's practice one day at a time to get better. Go into that meeting room after practice and to find that detail that we will need when it translates to Sunday.
Isaiah Pacheco, his importance in Sunday's game to be determined. But as he met with the media talking about chasing history, yet he chased it, they realize it, but they're not talking about it. They're worried about the task at hand, which of course is 60 minutes of football against the Philadelphia Eagles coming up 6:30 Sunday in New Orleans. And we'll break it down next 2 days. We got really a big Super Bowl coverage for you here on the show. And here's a guy that's been injured for most of the year. We know there's explosive potential to his game, but I guess to the point, as we talk about it, the audience has listened to it and are well aware of it. If the Chiefs win, they'll be the first team to ever win three straight Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. It's never been accomplished before. And we're going back now. This is Super Bowl 59. And as Jason Cole's covered the NFL for years, said a couple of days ago on this program, this will be the greatest team sports achievement ever. Three straight Super Bowls versus three NBA titles, three Stanley Cups, three World Series championships. We're talking about professional team sports, of course. And, you know, I don't know if I agree. We'll wait. I don't know if I can put a bow around that being, yeah, you're kind of right. I don't know yet. But there's been two constants on that team. Well, three. Mahomes, Reed, Kelsey. Mm-hmm. And Spags has been there for a lot of this run. They've changed offensive coordinators.
Yeah, the special teams coaches, Tobe, he's been there the whole time with Andy.
So, I mean, there's a lot of continuity, kind of. But as we heard also from A.J. Brown, because the question to him was facing the secondary for the second time in 3 years, and he mentioned, you know, there are a couple of different tweaks here, and some of the returnees are better than they were 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, like we were listening to Pacheco earlier, Bob, you know, and they said they're not worried about it because everybody else is talking about it. You
sure.
Know, everybody's talking. They don't need to talk about it because everybody else is reminding them or bringing it up every time they talk. So, but yeah, the constants that they have. I mean, you look at, Bob, when Dallas was on that run, when San Fran was on that run, it's all about you know, a lot of it was, well, in Dallas, it wasn't the coach. You know, it was Emmett, Troy, Michael. I mean, they had, like, Dion. They had a core guys, too. And you got to have, you know, a core group of guys. And their core is two players, basically, you know, Kelce and Mahomes. And the key guy is Mahomes. I mean, that. Right. I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. You know, like, come from behind victories and close game victories and what his record is in the fourth. He is, like, unbelievable, the clutch plays that he has made.
Now, getting back to the they're not worried about it Chiefs perspective, they're aware of it.
Oh, no doubt.
And they understand.
Oh, no doubt.
And you can bet your ass that the three-peat T-shirts have long been printed. And when the confetti's falling at the Superdome, if it does, 10 o'clock Sunday night, they'll be wearing them. And the hats are there, and then they'll be on an NFL shop, and all of that three-peat stuff. They're aware big time of what this accomplishment would
be. If I'm not mistaken, Bob, last year when they won it, you know, when he's talking to Jim Nance or whoever it was, wasn't he talking about, you know, want to get the three-peat next year?
I don't remember that.
Norm, you remember? I think he did.
I think once the game's over, I'm usually like, peace right. out, baby.
It sounds right.
Yeah.
One of those Mandela
effects. We want to come back to get the third one or something like that. So, yeah, they're definitely very aware of it.
Also, heard A.J. Brown in the opening of the show. So we're, 3 days away from Super Bowl 59 on how accountability has helped during the season. And here's a guy that has been kind of a lightning rod for whatever controversies they've had. When they struggled early, Sirianni's getting into it with the fans. Addressing the media at a post-game press conference with his young son sitting right there with him. Maybe trying to soften the criticism that was going to come his way from the fan base and from the media. Then they go up on this 10-game winning streak. And towards the end of it, A.J. Brown started to become kind of a headache because he wasn't getting the ball enough. And even though they were winning, which is the ultimate team goal, his individual achievements were kind of dwindling. So it even said, hey, myself included, the infamous sideline picture of him with one catch in a game they won, reading a book late in the game. So A.J. Brown, this self-reflection has been brought on by him himself. Great player. Take him on a Ravens roster in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the drama that he was referencing, that obviously the media brought up, he brought on most of it.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, I don't remember him popping off much at all. I'm not throwing it enough to A.J. Brown. Where's my stats?
Now, Philly fans would probably say, damn, reminds us of T.O., you know, bitching and complaining. But, I mean, the thing with A.J. Brown is that why Tennessee didn't mind getting rid of him, Bob? I mean, because he was in his prime when they got rid of him.
He wasn't even done his rookie contract with them. I think that was more of a money thing. And then sent him to Philly and drafted Treylon Burks out of Arkansas, who was supposed to be. I mean, A.J. Brown was a second-round draft pick. The Ravens took Hollywood ahead of him and D.K. Metcalf and Deebo Samuel. It is what it is. No, he got booted out of Tennessee because he even said, I didn't want to leave there. I loved it there. We got a nice little run going here because they were I think they had just been the number one seed in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They got upset by Cincinnati in the divisional round. But, as you know, wide receivers tend to be divas for whatever reason, and he got divaed up a little bit there.
And maybe he had to dial it back a little bit, or teammates going to him saying, hey, look, we've been a run-first team this year. We got Saquon Barkley. That's been the biggest difference for us compared to years past. That's the reason why we're back in the Super Bowl. I mean, if we were just running back the same team that we did last year that had an abysmal finish and it was all the drama and everyone was saying there's no chance you can bring back Sirianni, and then you get one player back in the mix and all of a sudden you're in the Super Bowl. So he's the reason or the biggest reason they're here. And even if you're a diva wide receiver, I think you got to step back for a second and say, look, that's the team we are. We're run first. I'll get mine eventually. My moment will come to me, but give the ball to Barkley.
I'm going
to
go Colombo here. And as they're running hot, victory-wise, he's looking at the Ravens, for instance. Henry's doing what Barkley's doing. Look at Zay Flowers. Look at Andrews.
Yeah.
Even Likely. Bateman. I mean, they got a lot of guys eating over there. Lamar's thrown over 40 touchdown passes. Why can't we be that level of team? And they did have injury issues on offense, too. Mm-hmm. Didn't Smith miss time? Brown himself might have been banged up a little bit.
Goddard missed some time, too.
Yeah, and Hurts was, you know, nicked to some level, sure.
Well, I think the big difference is quarterback there. I mean, I'm said my piece about Jalen Hurts in the past, but it's not comparable between him and someone like Lamar. And it's not to say that Jalen's bad, but he's not elite.
Super Bowl, dude.
He's a point guard.
Right. And it shows when you look at the talent around him, like Bob just said. I mean, give the average quarterback in the league the weapons that Jalen has, they should probably win with it.
That being said, the second Super Bowl in 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, the thing...
Lamar hadn't been to one yet.
Fair enough.
A.J. Brown, his years in Philly, I mean, he had 88 catches for 1,500 yards his first year. Last year, he had 106 catches for 1,500 yards. And I guess this year, you know, because he's only got 67 for 1,079 yards.
Oh, poor guy.
But he's only played 13 games this year.
There we go. You can't get that continuity rolling. But Super Bowl 59 is Sunday. You can hear it on the pad. That line holding steady. 1.5, according to ESPN Bet. Chiefs over the Eagles, 48.5 is your over-under total. Maryland tonight, 7 o'clock. You can hear it on the fan as well. Taking on Ohio State. Terps are actually 2.5-point underdogs in this game. We had Kevin Willard on yesterday, and he'll break it down for us again if you missed the first time. But Ohio State... Maryland's won 2 in a row on the road after not winning a road game for a bazillion years. But they're an interesting team. The guard, Thornton's a stud. And the young kid that's now starting, the freshman, he's a stud as well. Mobley, and then you got Royal. They got three. Thornton's an older guy. 45 from three, 82 from the foul line, 51 from the field. 4 assists, 1 turnover. Little guy, 6'2", but he plays strong. He's going to be an interesting matchup for Maryland, and we'll talk about that as the show rolls on. Maryland got a big football commit yesterday from Zaire Mathis, who had decommitted from Ohio State. 4-star from Imhotep in Philly, where DJ Moore went to high school way back when. And we'll talk about Maryland with Damon Evans. We'll talk more Super Bowl with Jamal Lewis, Ravens legend, coming up at 11 o'clock. It's Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. It's Vinny Hady, Nolan McGraw.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're on the Fan. Starting 11 o'clock, get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. We'll reveal that one later on in the program. Jamal Lewis, Ravens Super Bowl champion. One of the great players in the history of the team. He'll be joining us. Preview the game. And the irony of it is that Saquon Barkley was chasing Eric Dickerson, just like Jamal was 21 seasons ago. And his thoughts on that and, I guess, reestablishing running backs. Remember, what was it, 2 years ago? They're devalued, air quotes. Now, look at the teams in the Super Bowl. Look at the teams that made it deep into the playoffs. Ravens, Bills, Rams with Kyren Williams. I mean, there's no slappies here. The Lions had a brilliant season with two really good running backs.
Yeah. The only one, yeah, Kansas City's the only one that
there you go.
Yeah, that doesn't. But like you said,
yeah,
everybody's point. Talking about the running back. I even in Dallas, the pass rusher.
Micah Parsons.
He said, yeah, Derrick Henry, he wouldn't have done here what he would have done in Baltimore. He says, we don't have that kind of team where he would have had success here.
Basically say, we suck. But anyway, Super Bowl 59, we asked you a couple of days ago your excitement level for it, and it was kind of tepid then. I'm starting a little more juiced up here as we're getting closer to kickoff because now I can see the matchups. We're intrigued by this, the money aspect because we gamble. I'm sure everybody's in some sort of block pool, win a couple of extra bucks here for the month of February. But Damon Evans joining us, bottom of the hour, talk Terps with him. Signing day football yesterday, Terps tonight, men out at Ohio State. Remember, Ohio State got thumped by Maryland first game, 50-17 at halftime. He gave me heard on the Fan. Now they're favorite. That conference play, man. Eat you up. Let's go to Rodney at East Baltimore. Rodney, thanks for holding. Go. Hey, I'm talking while we're in bed.
I've been fine. How about you guys?
Hanging in there, man.
Yeah, I've been around, man. I just heard you all say something about these people ranting and raving about the Chiefs three-peating being the greatest team accomplishment.
That was Jason. Jason Cole said that.
Well, something's wrong with him. He needs to go and check out the Boston Celtics winning 7 titles in a row. Come on now. How could that be the greatest accomplishment? And how could this not be on the Chiefs' mind? The only way for them to three-peat is to win. It's just silly, man. It doesn't make sense.
All right, Rodney.
This is nothing big.
Okay. No,
do it four times.
Yeah,
even though they lost, even though the Bills lost 4 times, do it 4 times. Okay. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, what's hey, thanks, Rodney. What's harder, losing 4 or getting to 4 is a hard task. But Jason's point was, to elaborate, now, me and Vinny didn't say it. I even said in the opening monologue, I don't know if I agree with that. Let me see how I feel after a couple beers at 10 o'clock on Sunday. When Lombardi's Packers did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They won 65 NFL title, then the first 2 Super Bowls. There were like 12 teams in the NFL. Now you have 32 teams. You've got travel. You've got short weeks. There was no Monday Night Football.
Salary caps.
In those days. You drafted Ray Nitschke. Unless you told him to leave, yep. He was yours. And that's the way that it is. And the same thing in the end. I'm not diminishing what the Celtics did by any stretch, but when 30 teams in the league, there's more different layers to the playoffs. Even with Wooden's UCLA teams, they won two games. They were in the Final Four. You have to win two games now to get to the Sweet 16. So it's a different time, different era. Again, not trying to diminish accomplishments, but Jason's point was you got to play two playoff games, then the Super Bowl. And in some cases, like Phillies, you got to win four games to win the Super Bowl if they win. But I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm not, I don't want to be on the fence. You know what I mean? I'm not disagreeing with it, but you know what I'm saying. I don't think it's laughable to assume.
I think it's definitely in the conversation.
Sure.
Definitely in the conversation because it is quite a feat. Let me just say, it is not easy. I mean, you win one. You know, the thing about winning three is what's difficult is look how long now. I mean, Bob, the Super Bowls were much earlier prior to this, correct?
Oh, we're running out. And when we get to, let's see, the whip around, we're running out of Super Bowls. Let's just put it that
right.
way.
So when you win three in a row, just think of how many more games each one of their players has played. They've always played a season more than other people. And they play into well into February, you know, where other teams are done January the 4th. You know, so it makes it harder and harder each year.
So yesterday I said, yeah, it probably would be the most impressive. But then we had a texter that was talking about other sports, length of the season, and baseball. That one kind of stuck out to me. 162 to keep doing that. And then I saw a column today from Jason Stark talking about how everyone says that the NFL is the parity league because of the salary cap, and they've built it to be designed for parity. Well, baseball has the real parity. If you look at recent track record of teams that actually make the World Series, you know, we haven't had a repeat champ in forever. I mean, you go back to what the Giants were doing it every other year. That's probably the
Yankees
closest
in the late 90s
sure,
into
yeah.
2000.
But, you know, the 2000s, probably the Giants, your closest thing to it. Astros, sort of, just being there, being consistent. But I think there might be something to that baseball thing. And Stark's point was that it's really all about quarterbacks. So when a generational quarterback comes along, Pat Mahomes, he just controls everything. So in terms of impressiveness, I think it would say more about Mahomes than the Chiefs team as a whole.
And with baseball, too, and I love baseball like most of our audience, when the Yankees were stacking, like in the Mantle, I mean, name it, there was just two leagues. American League champ played the National League champ, and they went right to the World Series. That's why you see all these records getting shattered. Now you got to win a two-game wild card, then a best-of-five division series, best-of-seven this, best-of-seven that, unless you get a bye. So there's more layers to every in NBA, NHL now.
Yeah.
Every series is best-of-seven. Yeah.
It's all about the money.
So to Jason's point, these are pretty impressive accomplishments, no matter who does it. Is it better than the olden days, which I'm fond of? I'm not going to say that. Or the team's better because era's changed. But, I mean, to get to the Super Bowl and win it 3 years in a row, and they had to do it on the road last year for the most part, I think this is pretty awesome to watch happens.
I'll say it as the young guy. The level of competition now in all sports is better than it once was. And nobody should be offended by that. It's just the natural progression of athletes. The average athlete today is a freak athlete.
Bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah,
sure. And
there's nothing wrong
with
that.
Exactly. But to say Joe Green at 265 at his best couldn't be as good as any tackle today is
false. Because if Joe Green was living today, he'd be 285, 290.
Yeah. And by the way, you had 12, 24, 26 teams. You got a lot of scrubs in the league now because you got to fill out rosters. There's another way to look at it. How many teams in the NFL don't have quarterbacks? Because you got to have 32 of those. So, the old debate thing.
But isn't it easier to keep baseball? Is it easier to keep baseball teams together than football teams?
Well, we'll see what the Orioles got going on in 3 years once all these dudes start hitting arbitration. It's Vinny and Andy, 1057 The Fan. We'll come back to, speaking of money, college sports, all about it, football and basketball in particular. Damon Evans, Terps at Ohio State is underdogs tonight. Mike Locksley had yet another sterling recruiting class. I guess Pep Hamilton's coming in as the OC. Question is, when's all this recruiting success going to translate into wins? Signing day was yesterday. College football, old Locks pulled in another one of them rabbits out of his hat, dude. Yeah. Does it every single year, and everything else going on in College Park. He's the athletic director for the University of Maryland. Window Nation, a hotline. It's old school. It's a Total Request Thursday with Damon Evans. Damon, good morning. How are you feeling today?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. And we had Kevin Willard on a couple of days ago, head coach of the Terps, now number 18 in the country. And the team had, you know, had that little rough stretch out west. You know, people thought they were shaky to some level. Now they won four in a row, two of those on the road. They are underdogs tonight. We're not here to talk gambling. We're just here to talk about the actual game itself. But as you watch the team now, Damon, as we're in the about to enter the second week of February with March Madness literally weeks away, your comfort level with him is what compared to, say, it was when they were losing at Northwestern in Washington and Oregon?
Basketball is a long season, and I think what happens, you're going to go on a little bit of a roller coaster ride, but you want your team to start playing well at this time of year. And that's what Kevin's been able to do with this team, is to get them playing well, to get them to gel together. It's unbelievable to see their level of confidence and how it has grown, and each individual knowing what their role and their responsibilities are. It's really been just fun to watch. So I'm excited for the young men on the team. I'm excited for where we are. As I've always said, this is a tough conference, no easy games. Tonight at Ohio State will present a challenge for us. But I really feel good about how our team is playing and where we are, and I think the opportunities ahead for us are really, really good.
Now you look at the team as well, as we've discussed, Damon, many times, basically a remake from last year, where the team couldn't shoot. This year's team is one of the better shooting ball clubs in the Big Ten. You have a stud freshman who plays like it for the most part. Julian Reese has been outstanding here in his senior year. But to remake a team like Hurley did last year with UConn and won another national championship, we go back to when you were at a collegiate athlete yourself in Georgia and the landscape changing. I mean, is it more challenging? How much more challenging is it now to be like, oh, wow, I've recruited Joe Blow, the All-American, he's bouncing. Now I got to bring in five, six, eight more players and still maintain sort of that level of excellence here.
I think any time when there's a huge change or a seismic shift in the way you do business, I think initially it is real challenging. Our business has changed, and it's changed for our coaches, and the transfer portal has made it more complicated, more difficult. But over time, we'll all get used to it and deal with it and figure it out. And Kevin's done a really, really good job of figuring it out. I mean, the pieces that he's brought in with this team, the ability to shoot the ball the way that we can shoot the ball from all from one through three has been really, really good for us. And that's something that we lacked last year, the ability to drive the ball to the basket, but not only to score it when you drive, but to kick it out for wide open threes. And then when you have someone like Derek Queen, who's been phenomenal as a freshman, and Julian Reese, I can't say enough about his leadership, his effort. He's really, really helped our team and led our team and gotten us to a good place. So Kevin found pieces that we need, but more importantly, pieces that fit together.
Hey, Damon, big recruit yesterday, Zaire Mathis, that four-star, that's a pass rusher, which is big, you know, and somewhat a Philly kid. And, you know, 22nd ranking. You know, like the rankings, you know, it used to mean a lot. Like when I was at Notre Dame, we were number one every year. But you saw those kids for 4 years. I mean, now a 22nd ranking really means nothing, because by the time it's all said and done, most of those kids won't even be at Maryland by that time.
Yeah, you know, you want to give the staff, Locks does what he does, and his staff, they really went out and got a good class, so you don't want to take that away from them and the fact that they got a really, really good class. But it is different, as you stated. Usually you have time to develop those kids when they come in. And in a sport like football, with the physicality of the sport, you need to get stronger. In certain instances, you need to pick up weight and get used to the game in and of itself. you don't have as much time to do that anymore because kids want to play right away. They need to play right away. And with the transfer portal, it has changed the game. But kudos to Locks and his staff for going out and getting the 22nd ranked recruiting class. And Mathis is a great addition. That's what Locks does. So now you just got to have a good balance of a good recruiting class with a good transfer class. And make sure that your system, the pieces that you got, fit the system that you want to run. So things look good, and we just got to really now start focusing on getting everybody in the right position and getting the right mindset and improving quite a bit upon what we did last year.
Hey, Damon, what does Pep Hamilton add to the staff as the new offensive coordinator?
Well, obviously, Pep has a lot of experience. He's someone that has worked at several different locations, both on the college level. He's been an offensive coordinator at Stanford. He's worked at Michigan's as assistant head coach and passing game coordinator. And then he has experience in the pro ranks, being the offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. So he has a wide array of experience that I believe will bode well for us as we move forward. We needed to solidify that position. And Locks did so. And so we'll continue to try to do things to really position ourselves for success. And we have to do that. We've got to be a team that can compete year in and year out. And we owe that to the fans. I know our fans want us to be consistent. They want us to beat some of the teams that we haven't beat. And they want us to make a nice run. And we owe that to them.
Hey, Damon, you know what I was reading the other day, which is really sad and disappointing, I think, like at Nebraska, I'm sure you read it with Coach Rule. Then they get 100,000 people for their spring game. It's a big, big money raiser for them. And he's saying we're not going to have a spring game because his recruits that came in early, you know, will be playing in the spring game. And because you have to pay for a ticket, anybody can come watch. And people are out there scouting his young guys for the next year when they go to NIL and start and pay them more. I mean, to me, you know, they got to set up some rules because that makes no sense. That all that does is hurt everybody.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of adjustment that needs to be made, obviously, to how we're running our calendars right now. I tend to believe that spring football in and of itself is going to change over time. I think that it needs to change over time. It may resemble something like OTAs at the professional level. I'm not so sure that we should still be doing things the way that we've done them in the past based upon the calendar now. So we're going to take a hard look at that across the board and try to set ourselves up in a way to make sure we have the appropriate rules. But whether or not there's time in the sport in and of itself to change the calendar and do spring ball differently.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, joining us here at Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Damon, real quick, I know you're busy down there, College Park. I know lacrosse has started. The men off to the great start, as always. Other sports about to percolate here. So times seem to be fun right there with the old Turtle Land, right?
Absolutely. You know, our women's team is making their first trip out to the West Coast in women's basketball. You know, we've had a tough run of it here as of late, but have all the confidence in Brenda. We face Oregon tonight, which is a quad one opponent, and the Ducks are 16-6 overall, so we need to play well there. And then we turn around and play Washington. So good luck to our women's basketball team. And then the winter teams are doing well. You know, number four lacrosse got off to a good start with a win over Richmond. We play at Loyola on Saturday. Softball is underway at Arizona State. And so I want to wish Lauren Karn and our Terps good luck. And wrestling is busy. I mean, he's done a good job, and Alex Clemson, but we're at number 12 Rutgers. I should say number 12 Rutgers comes to us on Friday, and we travel to number 1 Penn State on Sunday. And so from gymnastics to tennis having its first home matches this weekend, and track and field had a strong showing at Penn State. So I'm excited about where we are. But we don't need to rest at all. We've got to keep pushing forward and really doing things to make our base proud.
All right, Damon, total request Thursday. What do you want to hear? We're jamming.
I'm going to give you guys something a little different. You won't know about this. Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons.
You're right. That'd be more of my daughter sort of thing. Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Good luck in Columbus, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Damon.
Thanks, guys.
There's Damon Evans, everybody. It's 88-8105-7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset, get a phone call in, and then Ravens legend Jamal Lewis will be joining us 11 o'clock. Talk about this Super Bowl matchup. Look back at 24 years ago when his Ravens took the Lombardi Trophy home from Tampa. Super Bowl 59 is Sunday. You can hear it on The Fan. Kickoff is at 6:30. Jamal Lewis, former Ravens legend, will be joined. He's still a Ravens legend, but former Raven, 2,000-yard rusher himself, Super Bowl champion himself. Talking about the game and his career and how the running back position has evolved. I did an appearance with him a couple weeks back in Glen Burnie at the Verizon store. Still looks like he could play. Big man. Like Derrick Henry, like, okay, I'm a little 190-pound safety. He's coming at me. Where's the red cape? Olay. Let's get out to the phones. Terps tonight in Ohio State as underdogs. Are they being disrespected? And how about this for being disrespected? Hall of Fame announcements tonight. Adam Vinatieri gets in on first ballot ahead from Terrell Suggs. As great as Vinatieri was, I'd have a mega problem with that, like I do with Mariano Rivera being the only baseball player to get 100% of the vote in the Hall of Fame. All right, Ed Narbutus, Ed, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Vinny, good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I heard that Deep Purple song, Bob.
Smoke on the water, man.
Hey,
as we watch the sleet fall here in Baltimore.
Referring to the tight end talk yesterday, Mr. DeCostas, OC, Coach Monken, Lamar, they're all in sync likeness of the big body mobility throwing targets at the tight end position. And current examples, Bowers with the Raiders and the impact he made this year, Georgia Bulldogs, Monken guy, Mahomes, Kelsey, what they do. Years ago, Patriots traded up one notch above the Ravens to select Gronkowski, knowing he was a can't-miss talent, and the Ravens were surely going to draft him. Personal opinion, Raven draft must-needs to bolster their team roster. It's not a whole lot for 2025. They need a playmaking corner, a high-motor edge guy to be in the rotation, versatile three-positional O-lineman. The fourth guy to get, of which your GM expertise, Benny, comes into play. And your opinion valued as well, Bob. The Ravens usually draft in their spot or they trade back. No insinuation intended of cutting any current players. There's a certainty first-round offensive skill guy, splash talent, that would immediately complete the Raven offense with all the tools and he scores touchdowns. Benny, you had to have strategized this scenario before. Penn State tight end Tyler Warren, number 44. Yeah. It's an obvious trade-up to do it. How do you make it happen for this 8-to-10-year generational pick? Can it be done? Would you pursue it? Or is it just wishful thinking? I'll take it off air, gentlemen. Thank you for your courtesy.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call.
Me personally, I would not go from 27, because all the mocks got him like around 14, I think, somewhere in that vicinity. Whoa. He's 6'6". He's a beast. I mean, he lines up all over the place for them. He's a hell of a football player. Now, I thought he was going to say, like, pass. You know, if it was a pass rusher, I could see it. But going up to get a tight end when you got Likely and Andrews, but, I mean, I understand that they're going to be free agent. That'd be a tough one for me to give up all that ammo to go get a tight end.
And it's his ceiling higher than, say, Likely's would be in a Todd Monken offense?
Yeah, maybe not. He'd be fine. He'll be fine in any offense,
sure.
Bob. But what Likely? Well, would he be better than Andrews and Likely year one? No.
No. Oh, no.
Right.
No.
So would a pass rusher, if you moved up to 14 or whatever, be better than guys that you got if he's that sure?
To your point, because next year in 25, we've talked about it. Nolan, we'll get your thoughts too. The way they look to be on paper with additions, this might be the best team they've had.
Yes.
Going into a season.
And I think they feel that way.
And if you're going to add, got to be a tackle perhaps. I mean, are you expecting 13.5 sacks from Van Noy again. We didn't think 9.5, and he blew that out of the water. Can Owe get double digits? I mean, your DB concerns are kind of real in certain areas. I think there are bigger needs, personally, as great as this kid might be, than tight end, especially if you're trading up in the first round to get somebody.
Yeah, I'm trading up for a, if it's a OT corner or pass rusher, one of the, you know, one of the guys, like elite type guys for me to move up.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Jamal Lewis is going to be joining us. Last time we had some connection problems. Hopefully this time we're clear and ready to rock and roll. So Jamal Lewis, Ravens legend, talk about Super Bowl 59 and look back at his Super Bowl win with the Ravens over the Giants down in Tampa, Florida. Whip around 11:15, and then Dannon Hughes will be joining us, Kansas City Chiefs radio. Preview the big game. Kansas City trying to make history and his thoughts. He did play for the team. I guess he might be a little biased. Where this was rate in the sports team achievement, the greatest three-peat of all time.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.